You don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Good words come out of your mouth. Words that create good and that edify. And if it's corrupt, corrupt can be cursing, corrupt can be lying, corrupt can be doubt, corrupt can be unbelief, corrupt can be worry, death. You don't let it come out your mouth.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim bring us a message on how to set a guard over our mouths and avoid speaking idle words that do not edify God or bring the blessing into our lives.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. It's the voice of victory because we talk the Word of God. You can't talk the Word of God, receive it in your ears, in your eyes, let it get into your heart without it producing victory. And we have one of our favorites here today, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you.
I love your, you know, I love you and your teaching, and it's been so good.
It has been good, hasn't it?
It's just been so good.
Well, I'm not talking about me and my teaching, but I'm talking about the direction of the Lord that He started giving me last December.
So important.
And really, you know, how we are, how we come to December and we're going into January and we're thinking about the next year and this and that. And I believe it's the year of the church to move into another place, another realm of power. And the Lord, in showing me that, showed me how much of it has to do with our tongues and the power of speech. And so we've been talking now for all last week and 3 days of this week, so that's 8 days, and we're going somewhere. And now these next 2 days, this is where we're going. And so we talked about how God made man a speaking spirit, gave him in the book of Genesis the power of speech, how much there is, and if you haven't watch this. Please go online and watch those other lessons where we go so much into what the Bible says about the tongue and about the evil, how you guard your mouth. If you want to see life, power of life and death are in the tongue. If you want to have life, then guard your tongue from evil.
That's right.
So that is a premises of the Old Testament of the Bible is you guard your tongue. You set a watch on your mouth. Because you are to create God's will in the earth with your mouth.
That's good.
You're to create. You're to spread love. You're to do whatever by the words of your mouth. Now, the church has had the power turned down to a great extent because we did not guard our tongues. We did not really do what God told us to do. But I believe the power is coming up. I believe, and the book of Ephesians is about a church called the glorious church. That's God's plan for us.
Amen.
I believe 2008 is a key year to this. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is verse 25. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 34, we're members of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this same book, it tells us that there should be glory in the church forever. It gives God's plan. And it tells us about the oneness that we are. Chapter 4 says we are one body, one spirit, called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And in this oneness that we are to preserve in the church for power, our speaking has a lot to do with it. And so just kind of, we said, you know, that it's abomination to the Lord, it says in Proverbs, to spread division and strife among the body. Now here, it tells us in the book of Ephesians, speaking the truth in love, grow up. So it speaks to us about speaking. It tells us in verse 25, put away lying. You lie with your tongue. Mm-hmm. Speak every man truth. So in this body of Christ and in our functioning as we should, so that the glory of God can fill us, we have to speak to every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's the same thing the Old Testament called Lashon Hora, the evil talk. You don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Good words come out of your mouth. Words that create good and that edify. And if it's corrupt, corrupt can be cursing, corrupt can be lying, corrupt can be doubt, corrupt can be unbelief, corrupt can be worry, death. You don't let it come out your mouth. And verse 2, you walk in love. So we see, and then it tells us to even move over into speaking in the Spirit. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So speaking, this power of speech has much, much, much to do with the church. Now, and its glory. And I was leaving, yesterday, and one of the men here, he'd been following along, you know, back in the rooms where they do all the controls and everything. He said, hey, look. And he showed me what he'd found, and I said, that's tomorrow. That's where we're going tomorrow. He was ahead of me because he already was thinking along these lines of our speaking and our unity. We're going to talk about the power of the spoken word when we speak in unity.
Yes.
And
amen.
We speak as one. Now, let's go back to, if you want to see the power in group speech that's unity, unified, we go back to Genesis. And let's go in the book of Genesis to chapter 11. There's just been a flood on the earth, and mankind had become so evil that the knowledge of God had gotten down to one man and his family, that was Noah, his three sons and their wives. Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. And then after the flood, Noah and his sons, you can see in chapter 10, the Lord then begins to give the genealogy of the nations. So he points out to us all the nations from the three sons of Noah. Now the nations, we see what they do after the flood. Chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now here we're going to see the power of unified speech. Starts off with that. This is 340 years after the flood. God told them, chapter 9, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In other words, go all over the earth, fill it up. They didn't do it. They rebelled against God. And they have one speech and they all clumped up together, somewhere between the Tigris and Euphrates River over in what is present day Iraq. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said, they spoke, one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, here's what they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, God wanted them scattered abroad upon the whole face of the earth, but they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So they take their tongues.
Against the will of God.
Against the will of God, and they say what? They want to do. Verse 5. And the Lord came down. Mm. That's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's the ineffable name of God, the one that we would say Jehovah. To see the city and the tower, verse 5, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, one tongue, actually is what it would say here. That's what the Old Testament calls language as a tongue. And this they begin to do. And now, nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. God said, anything they imagine to do, they can do it. Why? Because they have one tongue.
One
language.
They understand one another.
Uh-huh. And they can speak the same thing. Isn't that a strong statement?
Yep.
Nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So he's going to fix it. What does he do? Let us go down and confound their language. He can fix it like that. He'll just divide their tongues. Because there's power in the spoken word. And if you say the same thing in unity, it's got power. So God confounded their languages. I once said to someone, you know, I just love Hebrew. God made it up. They said, well, I guess he made all the languages. Here at the Tower of Babel, they have other languages.
Yeah.
He divided them. Verse 7, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Speech is a key. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence. The power, the creative power, was in their speech. It was in their words. It was in their tongues. He didn't say, I'm going to mix up what all they're thinking. They probably still had the same thought. But because they didn't have the same speech, they couldn't bring it to pass. The power was in the speech, in the creative speech. And the power was unity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what the young man stopped me in the hallway on yesterday. He said, hey, look at this, because we're talking about the church being one. And now we have what is truly the Lord's Prayer, which is John 17. I just absolutely love, because when Jesus was walking on the earth, it was kind of a sliver of time between dispensations. Now we're going to go, he's been talking to them. He's been talking to them really primarily from what they already knew from the Tanakh, from the Old Testament. He said, by your words you'll be condemned, by your words you'll be justified. Love your neighbor as yourself. All that's in there. Now, he is coming now that he's going to go to the cross. He's going to go and he's going to get for mankind redemption from sin. He's going to go to the cross, but he's not going to stay there. He's going to go to the grave, but he's not going to stay there. He's going to be raised from the dead. He's going to ascend on high. He's going to, and he calls it, I'm going to go to the Father. That's what he calls it. And so he speaks to them. He begins these truths unto him, the end of to them. He begins to speak this next dispensation's realities. And he starts really at the end of John 13, but primarily it's in John 14, John 15, and John 16. I love those chapters. And then he tells them, I'm going to the Father. And then in John 17, before he goes to the Father, he prays what is the Lord's Prayer. In what we call the Lord's Prayer, he was teaching others to pray. But this is his prayer. This is the one he prays to the Father. John 17. These words spake Jesus. He didn't just think this prayer. He spoke this prayer. And lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, he called him Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. All through the book of John, people would say certain things to him, and he'd say, my hour is not come, mine hour is not come. But now he says, the hour is come. And he said, glorify me, that I may glorify you. Now, Gloria, I believe that the hour is just about come for the glorious church. Mm-hmm. I believe that we have to have a further glorification from the Father. Jesus did, and I believe we do. That we may glorify him. And I'm looking even for it very, very soon because I see this world plunging itself into tribulation.
Yes.
So I believe now we're coming to the time when the glorious church has to come forth, and it has to be coming forth by the law, by the way it works. Unity and speaking. And we're going to talk about those two things. But now look at here what Jesus prayed for the church. And for himself, he prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples right there that he was leaving. And then he prayed down onto us. And so he says to the Father, verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Now, I believe that the church, the tabernacle was finished, the temple was finished, and the glory filled it up. Chapter 40, Exodus, it says the tabernacle was finished, the glory came and filled it. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it says the temple was finished and the glory came and filled it. Now, Jesus said, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with you before the world was. So he's finished the work, and now he's going to go to the fullness of the glory. And then he prays for the church, for the disciples, and he says, oh, look what he did, verse 6, I manifested your name unto men. Now, as he did, we're supposed to emulate him. The church is supposed to manifest his name, the Father's name, unto men. That's God's design. And if we fail in it, the church fails, and I don't believe the church is going to fail.
No, we
can't. Because the Holy Spirit is changing us into the image of the Lord. But he did it, and he's our example. For, verse 8, I have given unto them the words which you gave me. Oh, how important words are. They have received them. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's glorified in the church, in the ones he leaves here. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And we are one. His prayer was answered. Jesus' prayer is answered. We are one. We are one body. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. And the world hates them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil. Verse 17, sanctify them through your truth. Now, verse 20, he's praying for those disciples right around him, those people who are following him then. But then he skips. We know that there are at least 120 of them, because that's how many go into the upper room. But then he skips and he says, verse 20, I've written down in my Bible, Jesus prayed for me. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see, they use their power of spoken word, and they told about him. And that got from one word to the next word, to the next word, to the next word, to the next. It got down to me until I heard the word. And he said, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. That's me. That's you. That's us. That's the church today. Now, what does he pray? That they all may be one. Unity. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Now, we are one. That part of the prayer has already been answered. But there's another part of the prayer that we have not seen yet. And it's this part. That the world may believe that you have sent me. There's going to be a manifestation of oneness in the church. In word, in action, in power, that the world may believe. And the glory, verse 22, it is connected to the glory. We're going to be the glorious church. The glory was manifested in the tabernacle. The glory was manifested in the temple. And before we leave here, it's going to be manifested in the church. Mm-hmm. Now, he said, I want them walking as one. That's what he meant.
that the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you loved me. There's going to be a manifestation of the glory of God in the church that the world can see.
And they'll know the love.
And they'll know. Mm-hmm. They'll know that he loved us, that we're beloved, that we're the beloved of the Father,
right.
The blessed.
The world may know.
That the world may know. That's something they can see. The world does not go just simply by, they walk by sight.
That's right. So they're going to have something to see.
They're going to have something to see. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, us, as you loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. So he has prayed for a manifestation, a unity in the church that came to pass immediately when he raised from the dead. The body of Christ is one. But he's praying for a manifestation of the glory that will be the result of our walking as one, our living as one, our speaking the same thing, our not speaking evil tongues, our not bringing division, like we've been talked about all the week, but that we will walk in this oneness and in this unity that will allow God to fill the church with his glory.
So the world is going to see love in the church.
The world is. And the result of its glory.
Glory to God.
What is the glory of God? It's the manifested presence of God.
The presence of God that can be seen,
felt,
touched.
That can be seen. The world will see it. It's going to be our greatest tool of witnessing and manifesting God. The Bible says we're going to be the manifested sons of God and manifest him and his glory.
Plainly seen.
And with his glory there is power.
Praise God. Aren't you excited? Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn. How to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and he has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek him, we'll find it. We'll find him, and when we find him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend in talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe him for his plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for Your Life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
I want to share with you about my new book, God's Master Plan for Your Life, 10 Keys to fulfilling your destiny. Glory to God. We've heard an important key this week about our mouth. And these are things that you can do. These are things that once you make Jesus, which is a key, the first key is to make Jesus the Lord of your lives. And then it's choices from then on that you get from the Word of God. And I share those with you and things that Ken and I have learned that have changed our lives. I'm telling you, Ken and I are at a good place in our lives. We are satisfied. That's what the scripture says you can have. We're blessed. But it's because that we got into the Word of God and we found out what God says about things and we do it. We don't talk evil about people. We don't get in strife because you can't walk in the blessing that way. Mm-hmm. So there are things. It's just they're not hard things. They're just things. It's up to us to make a decision. So I want to encourage you to go to the bookstores. Wherever they sell books, they'll have this in the United States. And in other countries, you write the office, KCM office, closest to you. And you know, the people you've been praying for, have a time of fellowship with them. Invite them to the home, your home, and then and just start studying the Word. You know, people are hungry. They want answers, and the Word of God has answers. So we've gotten the study things for you to use yourself and to share with others. Three Believers' Conventions this year. The West Coast Believers' Convention, June the 30th through July the 5th in Long Beach, California. The Southwest Believers' Convention, August the 4th through the 9th, Fort Worth, Texas. Great Lakes Believers' Convention, August the 18th through the 23rd in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Come to one, come to all. I'll be every one of them. Glory to God. I always come through the summer stronger than when I went in because I get immersed in the Word of God. The Word of God will change you. Whether you go in it just yourself, with your eyes, whether you come together and congregate, because the Lord set some in this church, teachers, prophets, to help us to grow. And we've got lots of material on the website. Wherever you are in the world, you can go to our website and find material. Jesus is with you right there, right now. You could just say, Jesus, I give myself to you. I make you the Lord of my life. Take my life and do something with it. And where you are right now, wherever you are in the world, Jesus is there present. He's ready to help you. So you turn toward God. He'll turn toward you.
Hallelujah.
This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
And He sent His Word to heal you. Sent His Word to save you. Sent His Word to fill you. Sent His Word to love you.
Jump in to the fullness of blessing. Get totally immersed in God's Word at the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location, come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Come to the Southwest Believers Convention August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Great Lakes Believers Convention is August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Finally, join Kenneth and Gloria at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign from the 13th to 15th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. To find out more, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.